Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 2 Kings with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 2 Kings chapter 20, where we see that when going through a distress or problem in your life, keep in mind three things that God tells us. He hears you when you call to Him, He sees you in your distress, and He always answers you in a yes, no, or not yet. But He will always bend His ear to your call. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 2 Kings chapter 20.
It would have been better if he just went home to be with the Lord, you know, before all of these events unfolded, than him making this alignment with Babylon. Than him having his son, as we'll read about in chapter 21, not this week, Manasseh, the most wicked king to ever rule in Judah. It would have been so much better if he had just died, but rather God gave him the desire of his heart, which ended up being his greatest source of judgment. Maybe you can make that argument. I don't know. Because Manasseh has a son too, which would be Hezekiah's grandson, and his name is going to be Josiah. And Josiah will be one of the greatest kings to ever rule in the nation of Israel. He will bring reform and revival once again. And in Matthew chapter 1, we see that Manasseh and Josiah are in the lineage, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So even in the midst of all of this evilness and wickedness and mistakes that Hezekiah makes, God remains faithful to the Davidic covenant. I know that's a lot that's a lot of things I'm throwing at you. But write things down. Matthew chapter 1, you read of the genealogy of Jesus. And Manasseh and Josiah, Hezekiah's son and grandson, are part of that genealogy. So even if there's mistakes and mess-ups here, I just say this. Anybody who lives another 15 years, let alone another 5 days, is bound to fail. We're not saved by our performance. We're not saved because we had 15 years that were blemish-free. Or even 5 days or 5 hours that are blemish-free. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? If you're still with me tonight, amen? I mean, that's important to understand. I know that a lot of this we can't really take and apply. It's historical, and I know it's difficult. But the parts that we can, we will. And that's a part that everybody needs to be reminded of. That we are saved by grace through faith. The devil wants to rip us off. The devil wants to lie to us and make us feel like we are not like the other people that we are sitting next to here tonight. We are not like the leadership, the deacons, the elders, the worship team, the pastors. That we only are the ones that fail. We only are the ones that mess up and struggle and are tempted. That's a lie from hell. I'll be the first person here to tell you tonight that every single one of us with skin fail and mess up and struggle and do things we wish we didn't do and don't do things that we wish we would do. That's part of all of our story, our testimony. We go from grace to grace, and that's because we need grace. We're drowning in a sea of grace. Hold on to that. Don't let other Christians who put on this pretense put a trip on you. Nobody's arrived on this side of eternity. We're all attaining. Nobody has arrived. We're going from grace to grace, glory to glory. We're all being sanctified. There's things being worked out of all of our lives, whether we can see it or not, whether we know it or not. Every single person. I've sat with men who are in their 80s, 90s, who've been walking with Jesus, who know the word in and out, and I've been so intimidated by them. Because I thought, these guys are like, they're like the Pope or something. I mean, these guys, you know, these are men that don't ever say anything slang, don't ever let thoughts out that they shouldn't let out. These are guys that never do anything wrong. And I'll tell you something that's not true. God has allowed me in the short time that I've been in the ministry around these men to see, oh my, he just said that. Oh my, he just let that out. And it feels wonderful when they mess up. It feels so good. Because then you think, okay, there's some normalcy here to these people. They are just like we are. Do they mess up less? I think so. Because I think that as we grow in grace and walk with Jesus, we don't become sinless, but we sin less. And I think that sin has less control over us, that he breaks chains in our life as we walk in the Spirit and we stay in the Word. I do believe that. We go from strength to strength. I think that there's more victory that is incurred in our lives if we're walking in the Spirit. It's the abundant life. It's the victorious life. He calls us from victory, not for victory. So I believe that. But I don't think that any person in this room here tonight, even Mary, I just saw you, so I had to use you. I mean, even Mary, I think, has itty-bitty little sins compared to the rest of us. Even her, though. Even Edie. I have to get you too, Edith, because I got Mary. Even her, you know. I mean, I don't know. Do you sin still? Because I don't know if I believe that, actually, as I'm saying that. I mean, she's at McDonald's at midnight handing out tracts and getting thrown out of restaurants for talking about Jesus. And she's Paul the Apostle in a female form in Spencerport, Chilai, Brockport, the city of Rochester. Just what a privilege to have saints like these among us, but they're not perfect. I think we think that sometimes. I think we think, we look at other people and we think, man, these people never, that's why I struggle with reading commentaries. I do it to torture myself, but I don't even agree with what they always say because they want to knock Hezekiah. Listen, you want to know something? Let me share it with you. Proverbs chapter 25, you don't have to turn, just listen. One verse from Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 verse 1 says this, listen to this. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. How about that? How about during his last 15 years, he was used by God to copy scripture so that we can have copies of that? How come we're not talking about that? Why don't the theologians talk about that? That's amazing. I mean, did he do stupid things like show off the goods of the Babylonians? Absolutely. That would be like me bringing in the enemies of God, you know, from different places of the world. They come here and they, wow, look at this church. And yeah, that's my sound system. And, you know, this is my stage. And those are my the bungalow things. And that's my drum set. And, you know, this is my office. This is my church. This is my gymnasium. I mean, imagine that whole thing. That would be a blemish on my resume. I understand. But God in his grace, even though that's going on, doesn't mean he's not going to use me in other places and forgive me and restore me and redeem me. Hezekiah used to copy scripture. I can really confuse you and mess you up right now with the HZK letters, initials that are found throughout different Psalms and Proverbs, Psalm 122 through Psalm 124. That's ascribed to Hezekiah during the last 15 years of his life. It's grace. It's grace. If I only could take the platform, the stage, to share God's word with you on days where I have an A-plus of behavior, I'd never be, I'd be MIA every week. It's got nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with any of us. Christian perfection, I don't care how many times you've heard it, hear it again. Christian perfection is not predicated on your performance. It's predicated on the faithfulness and the completed work of Jesus Christ. That's it. So was it a mistake for Hezekiah? Was that the permissive? We love that one as Christians, don't we? That was the permissive will of God. He's sovereign. He's a giver of life. He could have taken Hezekiah. The Lord still accomplished good through his life. And by the way, Manasseh turns and repents to the Lord. When he's in Babylonian captivity, he turns and he repents to God. So even if you want to say that was a blunder of his, he should have just died. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't think so. I think God used his life. God's going to use your life. Are you going to make mistakes tonight even after you're at Bible study? Absolutely. Are you going to fail tomorrow when you guys are at work and you're on break and you're standing around with the guys and you girls, gossip starts to take place around you? Are you going to look at something when you're on Instagram that you shouldn't have looked at? Are you going to be a part of something you should? Absolutely, forevermore. That's why you need a Savior. Don't let the legalists and the Pharisee beat you down and mess you up. Every single one of us are beggars telling other beggars where to get the bread. None of us are the bakers making the bread, producing the bread, and ones that don't need the bread. We all need the crumbs that fall from the king's table. Every single one of us. I have no tolerance or patience for Christians who beat other people down because they're stumbling and tripping up and faltering from time to time. It's part of the Christian experience. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up. And if you're here tonight and you've fallen, just get up. Let Jesus lift you up. If you're low and you're humble in your base, he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Let him lift you up. Let him restore you. Let him heal you. He was wrong. Absolutely. He shouldn't have done this. Nothing was his that he called his. We are the sum total of what we bring in and out of this world. Nothing. We bring nothing in. We bring nothing out. Nothing is ours. But he's got feet of clay. We've got feet of clay. So Isaiah says to Hezekiah in verse 16, we're near to the end here. He says to him in verse 16, He says, hear the word of the Lord. You didn't listen. You didn't heed to the conviction. You felt bad in your spirit. I spoke to you. I gave you a chance to repent and get honest about what you ascribe these things to be. You didn't do it. So here's the word of God. Behold, the days are going to come, verse 17, that all that is in your house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, they will be carried away into Babylon. Which, by the way, as you, if you didn't hear it already, they were a side nation. That would be ridiculous to these people back then. Who, to Babylon? We're going to be carried into captivity to the Babylonians? If that flashed on Fox News and these times, they would say that can't be. There's got to be a typo. The Babylonians, maybe the Assyrians, not the Babylonians, but this is the word of God. And the word of God is absolute, and the word of God makes no mistakes. You're going to be carried to Babylon. End of verse 17. Nothing's going to be left. Thus saith the Lord. And of your sons, Hezekiah, that shall issue from thee. This is going to happen. You're going to have sons. And some of those sons, those descendants that are being referred to here, are Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, Daniel, the prophet. These that come from your loins, they're going to be taken away. The ones that you beget, they're going to be taken away, verse 18. Again, he says it. And they shall be eunuchs. They're going to be made unproductive. They're not going to be able to give forth seed. In the palace of the king of Babylon, we see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that with Daniel, they were given positions in the king's court in Babylon. A prophetic word of God. This is going to happen. I wonder if it would have happened if Hezekiah just got right there and then, if he just said, this is crazy, I was wrong, forgive me, and restoration was brought through the land. I don't know. What we have is what we have. This word of God spoken from Isaiah to Hezekiah, because he doesn't get real. And Hezekiah responds to Isaiah. I don't know what to do with verse 19. I'm conflicted on it. He says, good is the word of the Lord, which you have spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? You know, I'm not sure if, I don't know really what he's saying. I believe, knowing the man's nature up to this point, I think that what he's saying here is, I mean, whatever the word of the Lord is, it's what the Lord, word of the Lord is, and we've got to accept it. There are those who say that here, you know, he's being selfish, that he's just happy that his life is going to be, you know, what it is, and that it's not going to be, the judgment of God's not going to be till after he passes from the scene. I don't get that here. Maybe you do. I'm not sure. But I got the microphone, so what I get is that I think that he's just saying, whatever, let it be said, let it be written. He's God. There's no arguing with him. That's what I think he's saying here, essentially, as I tore up the language and looked at it. It's like David, when he slept with Bathsheba, and she was pregnant, and she had the baby, and the baby got sick, and he fasted and prayed for the baby day and night, wouldn't eat, wouldn't come down from the chamber, and then the baby died. And he cleans himself, he shaves, he gets dressed, he comes down. The servant says, I don't get it. Your son's alive, you won't eat, you won't do it, you mourn. Your son dies, you come down, you act normal. David essentially says, what could I do? God's will was done, God's will happened. There's no twisting it, changing it, or undoing it. That's what I think happens here. I think he just sort of resolved it, settled it, which brings peace. It's the will of the Lord, it's done. So the rest of the acts, as we close here, verse 20, the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all of his might, how he made a pool of Siloam, if you're familiar with Israel, and a conduit, and brought water into the city from the Gihon Springs outside of the city. He brings into the pool of Siloam, digs through some 1,700 plus feet of rock. It's incredible, incredible feat of his. I mean, just incredible. Engineers, those who look at this thing today, they're astounded by it. I walked through this tunnel where he would bring this water through from the outside of the city inside of the city of Jerusalem. Just this conduit, you know, a few feet high, a few feet wide, where water would flow. You know, just the smarts, the brains that he had that God blessed him with. You know, he did this thing and God doesn't take it from him. He provided water, so when there were sieges around the city, they had that water supply to survive. He said, aren't these things written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah, he slept with his father, and Manasseh, his son, verse 21, the close here, reigned in his stead. And we'll look at him the next time we're together. Manasseh's name, just as a little teaser, means forgetting. His name means forgetting. And he is forgetful as ever of the word of God. And because of that, And because the word of God is just put out of his sight, out of his view, all that his father puts up, he takes down. All that his father took down, he put up. And as a result of that, he was forgetful. He was not mindful of what his father would have raised him in to believe and to know and to walk in. And because he was forgetful, because the word of the Lord was removed from his life, the instruction of the Lord was no longer in front of his face, he was able to live very vile and wicked. Same for you and I. If we remove the word of God from our eye gate, from our ear gates, if we stop putting ourselves in the hearing of Bible studies and the reading of the word of God every single day, we are capable of the most despicable deeds. If we become Manessas and we become forgetful of what the precepts and the law of the Lord says, I mean, all of us are done for. None of us can stand. We can't stand apart from the word of God. And I understand, you know, there are times where you move through it, corporately and individually, where it's dry. Have you ever experienced that before? Can be honest, has anyone ever experienced dry patches? Some of you are lying in church. It's not very good. Thank you. There are times where it's dry. There are times, even a night like tonight, you might say, where, man, it just, I didn't get a ton out of that, but maybe you got something out of that, and that something, even if it was one thing, out of, you know, it's been 40 minutes, 45 minutes, even that one thing in those 45 minutes, God says, that was enough, that was what I wanted to give you tonight. And then you wake up in the morning and you do it again. And maybe, you know, you're tired. Maybe you're going to be here late tonight hanging out. You're going to have a cup of coffee, so you're not going to be able to sleep well. So tomorrow you're going to wake up early and you're going to think, I don't really have much time. I'm exhausted. I've got to get to work. Still put your nose in God's word. Give him a chance to speak to you. You can't live on tonight's manna. Get in the word of God. Read again. Don't ever let it be said of you that you've been forgetful of what it says. There's no excuse for it. There's no reason for it. We've got Bible apps on our phones. We've got every translation in the world, good ones, bad ones, tight ones, loose ones. We've got all sorts of, you know, commentary in Scripture, but we don't even need that. Just the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Just letting Jesus feed you and minister to you. Now listen, and govern you. Because if God isn't governing your life and you become the governor of your life, what you've got to understand, what I've got to understand, is that we're all one step from the edge, falling off. If we think we stand apart from the governing of God's word, we need to take heed lest we fall and we crumble. And the fall will be devastating. The fall will be painful. And here's the saddest part. It's completely unnecessary. It doesn't need to be. God gave you basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. He gave you the full counsel of his heart, of his mind, that you need to know while you're here on this in this world. And if you stay in the word of God and you seek the God of the word and you say, Jesus, please speak to me, he will meet with you every time you do it. And there will be days where you walk away so full, you can't believe how much he spoke to you. And there will be other days where you think, I just didn't get that much. But he will be faithful because you were faithful. And you made that deposit, just like your bank account. You made that deposit, and in right timing, there will be a withdrawal that can be made because you made the deposit. But if you don't make a deposit, he can't make the withdrawal. Do you understand? He wants to fill you. He doesn't want you to be forgetful. He wants to encourage you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. Listen to me, please. I'm closing here. I got 4 minutes. Listen, please. He wants to make you wise. Christians, if they do it right, are the wisest people on the planet. And it's irrelevant of age. Age doesn't make you wise. Age can make you knowledgeable. It doesn't make you wise. There's a lot of foolish 70-plus, you know, year old people walking around. Not in this church, but at the other church across the street. You know, there's a lot of those because they're not wise. And then there's a lot of wise 18-year-olds, 15-year-olds, because they take the word of God and they rightly apply it. Knowledge that is rightly applied is wisdom. And the Bible teaches you how to do that. It will make you wise beyond your years. It will keep you and protect you and prevent you from getting yourself tangled up in a mess that isn't necessary, that God doesn't want you to be stuck in. He wants you to have the abundant, blessed life. He wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to walk in victory. He wants to bless you. So Mike and the team, they're going to close us out here in a song. You know, and I think that it's important that we sort of take this portion of Scripture tonight, and we look at it and we say, God is the home of my heart. You know, you told Hezekiah to set his house in order. Essentially, that his life was being required of him. So, Lord, I mean, we're here, we're alive. None of us that I know of have gotten that diagnosis. We've not gotten told that. But we can take them, we can say, Lord, is the home of my heart pleasing to you? You wanted Hezekiah to set his literal house in order, his affairs in order, have a, you know, a will and have everything set up so that when he died, his family was taken care of. But I want to say this, and I think that we should all say this, but God, is the home of my heart where you are to abide, is that in order? Is that pleasing to you? Is that in a place, God, where it causes you to smile? Does it bless you, God, the state that I'm in tonight? And if not, we need to cry out to him. If not, we need to say, Jesus, help me to set my affairs in order. Help me to undo what needs to be undone. Help me to give over to you what needs to be surrendered. Help me to allow you back into my life in a way that I haven't for so long. Lord, I need you by your Spirit to counsel me in that. So here's what I want to do. We're going to move through a song, and we're just going to let the Lord stir that and make sense of that to our hearts. And then when that song is over, we're just going to pray together as a body before we're dismissed. Just asking Jesus to make sense of that. That our hearts, we can leave here tonight, all of us, no matter how we came in, answering, yes, my heart is in order. My heart is pleasing to the Lord. As his home where he abides, it's pleasing to him by his grace because he met with me. So just take this time just to sit before him, to let him search you and try you and to show you if there be any wicked way in you. And then we'll close in prayer.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right.